This is Investor IQ on News Radio 570 WWNC.
And we are back. Thanks for tuning into WWNC this early Halloween morning. I'm here with Rob Simon and Forrest Conner, who's trying to make me sound better as usual. Last segment, we were talking a little bit about some financial planning pitfalls that people sometimes make with respect to the titling of assets. This segment, we're going to focus more on investing issues. We're going to take a look at some exchange-traded funds and mutual funds. We had a question posed to us by another listener earlier this week that was a real good question, so we're going to spend the last two segments of this Saturday morning addressing that. First, though, we've got a joke for you, Forrest.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
All right. So you have a choice of marrying three women, right?
Okay.
All right. So you give each gal, let's say, $5,000 to see how she spends it, right?
All right.
So what's the first girl do, Rob?
The first girl is going to get a makeover with that to show her how much she loves you by making herself pretty for you.
She's going to look so pretty, you won't believe it, all right?
Okay.
That's girl number one. Girl number two, she just takes the money and she buys gifts for you, right?
Right.
Cool. Man toys, let's say.
Yeah.
And girl number three, what's that, Rob?
Girl number three, she's going to take that money and invest it so that she can give it back to you with some interest and some nice gains on it.
What do you do? Who do you marry?
Well, girl number one's out, I'll say. So that's between girl number two and girl number three. Probably, I'd take girl number three.
Girl number three?
Yeah.
No, it's it's actually the one with the best figure. That's the one you're supposed to marry.
Now, Forrest, it's not all about numbers. You know that. You know what I mean? Sometimes it just has nothing to do with money.
Oh, really?
Anyway, I couldn't resist that. So, all right, read the question from someone was asking about exchange-traded funds and mutual funds. What was it?
Right. The question is, my wife and I own a mix of mutual funds, mostly American and Fidelity funds. And their son has been advising them, even though he has no real training in investments, telling them that ETFs are better than their regular mutual funds and they ought to switch to them. And they're asking, our mutual funds have been pretty good to us, they think, and they'd rather fight than switch, in quotes.
In quotes, right. So I looked up that quote because with me it rung a bell. Forrest, do you remember that? I'd rather fight than switch. Does that ring a bell to you in any way?
No.
Okay, so I'm obviously older than all of you. It rung a bell with me, and I remember I looked it up. Territin, they used to make cigarettes, and the ads were, I'd rather fight than switch. And all the smokers had black eyes under their eyes. It was in the 60s and 70s. You were still an egg in somebody's belly at that point, probably. But anyway, so they don't want to switch because their mutual funds have been pretty good to them. The bottom line for us is that we actually do prefer to use exchange-traded funds wherever possible or wherever it seems to make sense, but it's really not a cut-and-dried issue. So what Rob and I are going to do is to compare and contrast mutual funds versus exchange-traded funds on some of the major issues that an investor would use to actually discriminate between pursuing one over the other. All right, so let's see here. We have a list of topics. So the first topic that we're going to address is the cost to buy the funds initially. And Rob's going to represent the mutual fund side of the argument, and I'll go ahead and take the exchange-traded fund side of the argument. So, Rob, with respect to buying funds initially, how do mutual funds fare?
All right. So you have two types of mutual funds. There's the no-load variety, where you can get in generally with a 0% or at NAV, net asset value. And then the broker sold variety, you have to buy in at a lesser value, usually 5.75% less you get to invest in the fund right off the bat.
Right. So with an exchange-traded fund, you just pay a brokerage commission, whether it's a discount broker or a full-service broker, so it could be $5 or $50, depending on your arrangement with your broker, and you just purchase it right over an exchange. So there's probably a major cost advantage over broker-sold funds with respect to ETFs and no-load funds, but a minor disadvantage to no-load funds because you never pay any fees to get in those. Okay, so the next topic that we're going to address is the cost to hold the funds. And this is actually a major consideration for us because our view is to try to hold funds as long as possible. Right. So the mutual funds.
Mutual fund side of the equation. The net asset net expense ratio for most funds tends to be around 1.1% according to our Morningstar database, but a study done by Strategic Insight has calculated the actual fee to be closer to 1.3%.
Right. So we actually took a look at the 868 exchange-traded funds that Morningstar tracks, and the median expense ratio for that for those funds is around 0.58% per year. So if you compare that to 1.1 or 1.3%, it's a major difference. iShares is a major exchange-traded fund sponsor, and it says that its average ETF cost is only around 0.41% per year. So that starts to be a major difference. If you compare 0.58 to 1.1% a year in two equivalent funds, exchange-traded and mutual funds, over a 20-year period, that comes out to about 11% more money that you'd have in an exchange-traded fund. And if you're comparing a 0.58% to a 1.3% differential, that difference comes to more like 15% over 20 years. So you're talking real money over time, assuming that the performance is equal. I think we might have time for one more. How does one buy the shares?
All right. So for a no-load mutual fund, you can buy directly through the sponsoring fund family, or you can buy them through a Fidelity mutual fund exchange kind of thing like that. For broker-sold fund, you can either buy them through the fund sponsor or through a salesperson.
Right. With respect to an exchange-traded fund, you, once again, would always buy it through a stock exchange, and normal brokerage commissions would apply. So I would say that the no-load mutual fund avoids all transaction costs, and ETF purchases require a brokerage account first before you can buy the fund. So exchange-traded funds come with a minor disadvantage in terms of having to have a separate account to own them in. Let's try squeezing one more in. Short-term redemption restrictions, do they ever apply?
Yes, they do. Many mutual funds do have short-term redemption fees of around 90 days.
Right. And on exchange-traded funds, you're never going to pay a sales charge. You'll never pay a redemption charge. Nothing like that ever exists. So that's a major advantage for exchange-traded funds. That pretty much brings us to the end of this segment. My name is Glenn Wessel. I'm with Rob Simon and Forrest Connor. This is Investor IQ. It's Halloween morning. You're listening here with us on WWNC.